I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Friends with Friends. My name is Pete and this is Dave.
Hello, Pete and the world.
And we've got another guest with us. Well, I was going to say friend then, but there is more to this than friend.
Yes, this is our third friend on Friends with Friends, episode 5. And also today, a blood relative of one of us.
Hello.
There she is.
We have Sarah Cribb, sister of Dave Cribb.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Sarah has, of course, chosen an episode of the wonderful sitcom Friends, which we're about to dissect and overanalyze. Sarah, would you like to reveal what episode you've chosen?
I have chosen the one with the lesbian wedding.
Very strong episode. I've really enjoyed watching this one. So this is going to be a slightly different episode of this podcast for me, because obviously Sarah Cribb and I grew up watching Friends together. So this is basically our childhood.
Yeah.
Condensed into 29 minutes or however long this podcast is going to be. So why did you choose the one with the lesbian wedding?
It's just a great episode. For me, it's like everything. I mean, there's loads of problems with Friends, obviously. We're going to go into that.
We've been through a lot of them so far, yeah, haven't we, on this podcast.
But it's an episode that is both very, very funny because it's early day Friends and it's like joke after joke after joke. But also it's got a lot of heart and pathos, and it's just basically, I'm very optimistic. So ultimately it's a episode about love is love is love, and it's great.
Nice. Actually, I think there were two moments in this watching it back, and we'll come to them in a minute, where you sort of go, oh, it's like proper nice heartfelt moments of emotion.
Oh, I mean, I've cried watching this episode a number of times.
And I think this episode feels like, watching it now, it feels like it was way ahead of the curve compared to a lot of other programs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, let's crack into it, shall we? So we'll discuss a lot of that as we go along. Let me, before we overanalyze this episode, read you the Wikipedia plot summary,
just in case
you haven't watched this episode recently. So here it is, the one with the lesbian wedding. Ross's ex-wife Carol announces her plans to marry her lesbian life partner, Susan. Ross's sister Monica caters the wedding. Carol's parents refuse to attend the wedding, leading Carol to doubt her decision. But Ross, initially reluctant to see his ex-wife remarry, finds himself in the position of being the one to encourage her to go ahead with the ceremony, despite her parents' opposition. Meanwhile, Joey makes his first appearance on the long-running soap opera Days of Our Lives.
Yeah,
as Dr. Drake Remore.
What a moment.
One of Phoebe's massage clients, Rose Adelman, dies on the massage table and her spirit gets stuck in Phoebe. Very matter of fact, the way they've written that plot. Meanwhile, Rachel's mother, Sandra, makes a major life decision. After seeing how Rachel has learned to fend for herself, she decides she is divorcing Rachel's father. So there's four.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Four little strands. Let's start off with the sort of one that's not really a strand. It's just a bit, isn't it? Joey on Days of Our Lives is just a bit. And it comes back a couple of times, but it's really just sort of feels like one of those ones where Joey didn't have much to do in this episode.
This is quite a poor episode for Joey in many ways. That's what we'll go into.
So they've written in this bit of Days of Our Lives. Now, this is not something that I've often thought about whilst watching Friends, but the first thing that came to mind when I'm watching it back, you know, in this mindset of doing this podcast and therefore analysing everything that happens, Days of Our Lives is a real show.
Yeah. Actually exists.
And across the 10 seasons of Friends, they mercilessly rip it. really badly, don't they? It's not just like a nodding, loving, gentle parody.
Was it on the same network as Friends?
It was. They were both on NBC.
Okay.
So yeah, so they mercilessly ripped Days of Our Lives as like a terrible, terrible, terrible TV show. Yeah. How did they get away with it?
Well, I've never watched it.
Yeah.
But I think it is a terrible, terrible TV show. And I don't feel like there's a... I don't know. Maybe there is an audience that watches it.
Well, this is the thing, because from our point of view, and there might be Americans listening to this who are more familiar with Days of Our Lives, but like I've never seen Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, the entire extent of my knowledge of Days of Our Lives involves how it is seen via Friends. Like, I don't think it's something that is shown over here in the UK. I might be wrong. It's probably on some satellite channel somewhere, isn't it? But it's not something that
satellite
ever...
Satellite channel?
Yeah, that was very... that's
a very we are in the 1990s.
Off the time so... Friends reference, isn't it? But yeah, it's probably on telly somewhere, but no, it's not something I'm familiar with at all.
No, and so in my head, when I was going back, I was like, this is written as if they've created this fictional terrible soap opera. Do you know what I mean? Like the way they write it and mercilessly rip the piss out of it and say this is basically the worst thing on television and its actors are the worst actors on television.
Mm.
But as I went back to look into it, and there are some real ones. Some of the real Days of Our Lives cast members feature in Friends.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, across the series. So there's obviously some that they make up, like Susan Sarandon plays one, doesn't she, at one point?
And you mean Susan Sarandon wasn't in Days of Our Lives?
hang on. So... Days of Our Lives characters play their Days of Our Lives characters in Friends.
So this is what I discovered. So the one where Joey has a roof party, do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, all of the people there are real Days of Our Lives actors.
There you go.
Yeah. And some of the ones they meet like on set occasionally are real ones. But then sometimes they just make them up when it suits them to have, you know, better actors playing the actors in Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, well, that went totally over our heads, didn't it?
Here's the real crunch that I discovered whilst researching Days of Our Lives today. Hmm. Days of Our Lives is famously shot in California.
Really?
The soap
that
opera.
That is a commute for Joey.
So Joey, not only have they chosen a real thing, they've chosen a real thing that films hours and hours away, flights-wise, for Joey to just apparently nip down to the set.
You're right about it not being a particularly complimentary take on Days of Our Lives as well, because the whole basis of Joey's involvement in this first episode is how he can act terribly and yet get away with it.
This is great.
By using this technique that someone within the cast has taught him.
I'd actually forgotten that this was in this episode when I picked it, but this is the birth of the smell of heart.
It is.
That's one of those like Friends tropes, isn't it? That just like that lives within all of our daily lives now.
Or as Joey puts it, it's a big pause where you look all intense.
Well, it is one of my favourite running things is Joey's terrible acting. Like I think it's so well done how bad he is. Like he acts like a terrible actor very well.
The idea of this technique is so that he can remember the line that he's forgotten, isn't it? So
again, it's not a live show. If you forget your line, just do it again.
Yeah, no one edits that out. They just leave it in.
Yeah. No, they're just watching about those rushes going, that's a very good intense pause halfway through a sentence.
Whilst he remembers the name of the problem.
Yeah, the disease that he's doing. But that's really all there is. That comes back a couple of times, doesn't it, across the episode. There's a couple of references to it. Joey does the impression of Dr. Drayton Memori for the Friends. It's all very nice. But apart from that, it's just like birthing this idea that Joey's in Days of Our Lives and nothing more really happens to it.
Yeah.
And then there's three sort of main plots trundling through. So let's start. You got three choices, Sarah. Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the wedding? Would you like to start with Rachel's mum? Or would you like to start with the most insane plotline since we analysed an episode 2 weeks ago where Ross attacks two women?
Oh, yes. We are picking up on something absolutely batshit mental each week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to start with that one.
Okay.
Because it is both my favourite and least favourite storyline. Phoebe, generally in Friends, I'm not going to say she's necessarily got a personality disorder, but she's certainly got some complex mental health problems that are very much brushed under the carpet. By the rest of the Friends. And I guess to an extent that's good. They allow her to be herself. But also, is she getting any help? Because I do worry for Phoebe.
So I can accept this to the level where Phoebe, in her head, she's imagined that the aura of this woman has entered her body. Sort of, yeah, I'm sort of fine with that.
She suggests that the woman's spirit kind of goes into her on its way out of the body, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sort of strange horror film where the spirit latches onto the first living thing when someone dies. Mm. You know, it's like, it's quite a dark...
They get a lot in this episode, don't they? Yeah. In a very short space.
Really nail
time.
A lot of genres, like terrible soap operas, horror films. But here's the thing. Phoebe then starts to make references throughout the episode to people like Soupy Sales and Evelyn something or other.
Evelyn Dermer.
Evelyn Dermer, who we are led to believe she has never heard of. So are the Friends writers actually... are we to believe that this has actually happened to her? Because it's not... The things that come out of Phoebe's mouth far surpass the plausible level to which she's taken it on herself.
It's not Phoebe's cat mum, is it?
No.
You know?
It's not... Yeah, Phoebe thinks her mum's a cat. It's another one of the mad plot lines.
Next level brain...
But it's infested her brain. Like, she's remembered celebrities from the 30s that she's never heard of.
Mind you, this did happen to me the other day when Dad was asking me about any famous Laverne's that I knew. And after Lauren, I could only think of Laverne and Shirley, which I've never watched. I don't know what it's about. I mean, two women, maybe?
Yeah, who knows?
I think it was on in like the 70s, which was a good, you know, 10 to 15 years.
And how do you know about Laverne and Shirley?
I don't know. So maybe in the way that I know about Laverne and Shirley, Phoebe knows about Soupy Sales and Evelyn Dermer.
Does anyone know who Soupy Sales is?
I thought that it might be some kind of popular culture figure, but it doesn't appear to be, because straight after she said this name... She says, I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, who's Soupy Sales?
Here we go.
It's certainly a man, right?
It is a man, Soupy Sales, born Milton Supman.
Ah, yeah.
Was an American comedian, actor, radio, television personality, and jazz aficionado.
Okay, he exists then.
So he does exist, and he presented a children's television show called Lunch with Soupy Sales. A series of this is excellent.
We are really delving into the depths of Wikipedia on this podcast, aren't we?
It's a series of comedy sketches, frequently ending with Sales receiving a pie in the face.
Sounds highbrow.
I mean, I don't want to really delve too much into Soupy Sales. It might be that he's the man that invented the custard pie in the face.
Yeah, possibly.
Which is quite that's a great trademark to have. But also, I just love the idea that he has a number of like. Varying sketches set all in loads of different locations, but they all end with him getting a pie in the face. He's in the bank, something funny happens, pie to the face. He's at a funeral, it's really sad, there's some good jokes, someone puts a pie in his face. I want to watch Lunch with Soupy Sales.
I reckon you should start a podcast about Lunch with Soupy Sales.
Should we do a spin-off, Pete?
Do you reckon there's anything on YouTube of Soupy Sales? Maybe just that bit from Friends. It's probably the only time it's been mentioned in the past 10 years. 20 years. God, no. Friends is old, isn't it?
It's long time ago.
Soupy Sales is all over YouTube, mate. I implore... We should all go away after this and watch some Soupy Sales outtakes, and then we can come back next week and talk about Soupy Sales a bit more.
Such a great name, isn't it?
It is this plotline in Friends that while I was watching this episode in preparation for this podcast, I texted Dave and I said, God, this is another one of those... what the fuck is happening episodes. Like, if you write down in summary what happens to Phoebe in this episode, a woman dies on her table and then Phoebe claims to have absorbed her spirit. Like, that is some bizarre storylining.
Also, can we talk about the fact that prior to Phoebe coming in and making this announcement, Ross and Chandler are getting ready to go to work. So it's what, like 7? Half 7 in the morning?
And someone's already died on a table.
Yeah. Like, who is getting a massage
at
like...
start to the day.
7 in the morning.
There's a lot of issues, I think, time-wise with Friends. Because not only who's getting a massage at that time, but why are they all going to their... I understand the concept that they might all, every day... after work, go and hang out at Monica's.
Yeah.
Sure, but why before they start work at, let's presume, 9 a.m? Like
normal
people,
they all go over for breakfast.
Do they all gather for not even breakfast together, just to hang out?
Yeah, and they've got to travel. You know, they've got to commute. It's New York City, and at this point, Ross doesn't live opposite them.
No,
but he's already traveling.
I get up in the morning, and there's usually, I reckon, a 20-minute period between me getting out of bed and having to leave the house. Like,
sure.
I do not have time to usually make myself breakfast and sit down for half an hour in my own flat, never mind travel to someone else's flat.
Also, if I came to your flat every morning, a la Ross and Monica, that would add an extra hour and a half onto my commute every day.
Yeah, it seems just illogical. So they're having their... So Phoebe comes in, we've done all this, and then we meet. I think probably we talked about last week about how I think Jack Geller is probably my favourite minor role character in Friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he's probably the best one. I think there's a character in this episode who is the best three-line cameo appearance.
Is this Mr. Adelman?
Mr. Adelman.
Yes, he is great.
He says about 10 words in total, but he is excellent.
He's excellent. He's also taking his wife's death very well, isn't he?
I thought that, yeah. He is propositioning young women within a matter of a day after she dies.
So we're to believe that an old man's life partner, who he's probably, judging by his, you know, age, has probably been married to for 60, 70 years, maybe.
Yeah.
She's died.
Could have been a late-in-life match.
Could have been a late-in-life match. But, like, they've been married and his wife has died yesterday.
Yeah.
He gets a call from her masseuse and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll nip along. Sure. I'm not doing much today. And then she's like, oh, by the way, you know your wife died yesterday. I think she's inside
in me.
And he doesn't go, oh, do you know what? It's quite hard to talk about this at the moment. It's quite an insensitive thing to say that. You're quite mad. He just says, yeah, cool. Do you want to have sex?
He is a man who's very much in his 80s. He's seen a lot. He's unfazed by life. His wife's died. It's sad, sure. But he's got the opportunity to potentially bang Lisa Kudrow. So who among us would not try it on at that point?
He's making the most of his opportunity, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, also that line is very much one of the just sexism bits of Friends.
Yeah, it's classic.
Worth a shot, right?
Worth a shot, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Adelman.
You big perv. Sorry, you shouldn't say that about someone who's recently lost their wife, should you?
No, but luckily, Pete, he lost his wife in 1997.
That's true.
May not even be with us anymore.
Oh my God, do you think that actor is no longer alive? Oh, he will be.
No, sorry, did I really?
He's probably dead, isn't he?
Watch the buzz there.
Shall I Google that?
He probably is.
Yeah.
What's his name? Mr. Adelman?
Adelman, I think.
Adelman. Oh, I've got him. Oh my God, his name is Phil Leeds.
just for context, Pete lives in Leeds.
I am in Leeds right now, yeah. Let's play Guess When He Died.
Oh, okay. No. So when did this episode go out?
It was early on, so like 95?
Yeah.
97?
I'm going to say 2000.
Yeah, he died in 1998.
Oh, you win.
It's been gone 19 years. Rest in peace, Village.
I've just got him up now on IMDb. Actor, 116 credits. He appeared in Lost and Found as Elderly Man. He appeared in a series called You Wish as Old Man. He appeared in a show called Murphy Brown as Wizened Old Man.
He was in Ghost.
What? What? The film?
He was in Ghost. He played, I quote, emergency room ghost.
I really like that he's played a series of old men that have got progressively more wizened, and then they've gone, he's going to have to be a ghost now. Yeah. Nobody's going to believe him as somebody who's still alive. He's too old.
So to wrap this sort of bit of the plot line up, the Phoebe plot line, this goes back to a trope that we've picked up on a couple of times in the sort of, why do they not all go to work ever? And we've established that Ross and Chandler were on their way to work at the start of this episode. Phoebe, you know, at this stage we are led to believe is a fairly struggling masseuse, decides she can spend 2 or 3 days just walking the spirit of a dead woman around New York, around the Museum of Modern Art, the Empire State Building.
Rockefeller Center, all the places that I'm going to guess a woman in her 80s who's having a massage at 7:30 in the morning has probably got quite a lot of time and money and has probably seen most of these sites of New York.
Yeah, so the premise is that the husband says she wanted to see everything.
Yeah.
So Phoebe thought, well, she's probably not seen the landmarks in her home city, so I'll nip along and show her those. It's like, jump on a plane, Phoebes, mate. Live across the Sydney Opera House. She's probably not seen that. She's probably seen the Empire State Building because she lived in New York for 90 years.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Rachel's mum. Let's talk about Rachel's mum. This is the sort of one of the B plots before we get to the A plot of the wedding. Mm-hmm. Rachel's mum comes to visit. Rachel's all nervous because it's the first time since she left Barry at the altar. Rachel's mum's come to visit her, and it transpires that Rachel's mum sees Rachel happy as Larry and decides to leave
happy
Rachel's dad.
Happy as Barry.
Happy as Barry.
This is one of my favourite ever B-plots, I think, in a Friends episode, because it's so sad and beautiful.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
I was going to say, the moment that Rachel's mum says, "You didn't marry your Barry, but I married mine," that's actually a really sad thing. Like, she's saying, I've spent my entire adult life with this person that deep down I never wanted to be with. That's really sad.
It's so sad. I have got heartbreaking written in all capital letters in my notes. But also she says that bit about being in the car and then getting home and wondering, how did I get there? And that's how her whole life has been as well. It's pretty dark and sad.
It's really well written as well.
It's beautiful. It really is.
They've really pulled it back, and I wonder if they clocked off after lunch having written this heartbreakingly beautiful investigation into the human condition and
the
marriage and love
relationship,
mother daughter thing. You know, people that marry too early, and they go, "Guys, we have nailed this." And then they come back, and it's, you know, have a couple of pints at lunch, 4 p.m. They're like, "Oh crap, we've got a Phoebe plotline. Come on, guys, spark it. Dead woman dies, spirit inside her.
That'll do.
Cool, and we're shooting."
I think you also learn a lot about Rachel. In contrast to her mother, that's obviously why this story is there, because you kind of see what Rachel's life would have been like if she had married Barry, and the great contrast between that and how happy she is now. Her mum says something like, "Oh, you're the happiest I've ever seen you." So it's clear that this new Rachel, which we've known all along, but it's clearly new to her being in the city of New York and meeting these people, it's clearly completely turned her life around.
I think for like a B plot that is, I don't know, what this must take up like about 7 minutes of the episode, if that. Yeah. It's like a pretty good analysis of like a very complex mother-daughter relationship. Rachel's in her 20s. She's quite selfish, but also understandably quite embarrassed when her mum says things like, "So what's new in sex?" in front of her other best friend, you know, and does react understandably, but it makes you, like, watching it as a kid, you are like, "Oh, this is really embarrassing. Oh God, parents are the worst." And then watching it a bit older and as an adult, you're like, "Oh my God, like, wow, this is intense." And it is that moment, like you say, "You didn't marry your Barry, I married mine." And Rachel, the face, the reaction in that fade.
She gets it, doesn't she?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, thank God. Like, you see your parents as real people who had lives before you and, like, complex emotions. And obviously Rachel's come from, like, an incredibly privileged family and has probably had many other issues with her parents over the years. But yeah, I just think it's really beautiful. Really
there's
tender.
There's also that moment where her mum makes a reference to the fact that Rachel's dad is the only person she's ever slept with, and that's why she's so excited about the idea of being single and kind of meeting other people and stuff like that. She wants a bit of what Rachel's had, doesn't she? She wants that freedom of starting all over again.
Oh yeah, there's a bit in, so I was watching it on the box set, which is like the extended versions. Did anybody watch that episode version?
No, I had it.
So I can't remember if this was in the original, but there's a bit where she's talking to Rachel in the living room and she's talking about all the things she wants that Rachel has, and that includes, like, you know, I want a job, I want this and that, I want a Chandler.
What?
Yeah. What? And then Rachel's like, Mom, I don't think Chandler's, like, enough of a reason to leave Daddy.
Rachel's mom says that Chandler is, like, her ideal man.
I don't think it's meant in that spirit. I think it's meant
as,
like,
an accessory, like a sarcastic, want, like, yeah, sarcastic man
friend.
Pal.
Yeah, for sure. And then Rachel says, you know, actually, Mum, this is hard. This is, I'm working this crappy job. I'm not earning very much money. You know, it's not like the ideal life that you see. And then Rachel's mum says, oh, sweetie, you don't understand. I'll be doing what you do, but with money. It'll be totally different.
Oh, my days.
I do have one further question about Rachel's mum.
Yeah.
Which leads us on to the final part of this episode. Why is Rachel's mum at Ross's ex-wife's wedding?
Right. Okay.
Oh, okay. This is like a whole other... We need to talk about this.
Let's play
depth.
One of the Friends jingles and talk about the wedding.
Okay.
Roll the jingle.
Can we talk about the wedding now?
Yep. Yes, Peach. Yeah. Permission granted.
So there's a few issues there, aren't there? Not only is Rachel's mum, like, even if she's in town for a few days, and I think she maybe only lives on Long Island, so, yeah, like, why is she, yeah, in town for so many days? But also, okay, you just take a few hours.
Leave her at home.
Yeah.
Leave her
at
home.
She can go and, you know.
So to me, this is part of a bigger problem with, yeah, the wedding guest list.
Yeah, I've got a huge problem with this.
Is the problem,
list.
Why are there only lesbians at the lesbian wedding?
Okay, that's like, that's a problem that needs a whole other segment, yeah, to talk about. What I'm interested in, okay, I can understand why Ross is there, and we should talk about that a bit more, despite being very reluctant to go.
Yeah.
I can understand why Monica's there.
Yeah,
she's
catering.
Caterer.
Yeah.
She's catering.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are Phoebe, Rachel, and Joey, yeah, there, who are Carol... Oh, and Chandler, yeah. Who are Carol's ex-husband's friends. Like, this is quite a small wedding.
Yeah.
Like, the guest list is not huge.
So, to me, those two things tie up, right? We are led to believe, when they arrive, that everybody there is a lesbian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to because Joey immediately is oh... It's like I'm Superman without my, yeah, cape or, yeah, whatever. I have no... Yeah, I have superpowers, but I cannot fly or, yeah, whatever he says.
So they're looking around the room, and basically the implication is everyone here is a lesbian, which I imagine, knowing some lesbians as I do, they don't exclusively move in lesbians-only circles.
I'm going to say, yeah, if I do ever get married,
yeah,
I reckon they'll be like... Probably like 15 max, yeah, lesbians.
I'll put a lesbian cap on it. There's going to be a lesbian cap.
I just don't know that many lesbians, yeah, which is like, yeah, part of the problem of why I'm not in any position to get married anytime soon.
Yeah, this is the problem. Why is there such a wide circle of lesbians?
I mean, sure, like lots of gay people do have lots of gay friends because, yeah, that's part of the, you know, especially when you're young, 100%. You go out, you make friends,
people
you find
do.
People.
But even if it's, say, 75%.
Lesbians.
Yeah. That's still... I'd say a high amount, but still plausible that there might be some straight people there. The only straight non-lesbians are
Ross's friends, Carol's ex-husband.
Carol's ex-straight husband, whom she left for a lesbian, his sister, and some people he just hangs out with in the mornings,
yeah,
before they all go to work.
The thing is, there's quite a problematic thing with the guest list. Like, obviously, this is quite, I would say, quite an early depiction of a same-sex marriage, and that's obviously a very positive thing because I think, yeah, their marriage is portrayed very positively. But the problematic thing about the wedding is that every lesbian on the guest list is apparently... immediately attracted to all of the heterosexual females there. Doesn't necessarily work like that. Like,
no,
Phoebe gets propositioned, and then, yeah, Rachel's mum makes a comment about how people keep making eyes at her.
Yeah.
No straight,
yeah,
people. The lesbians might not want to sleep with you.
Exactly.
As previously advertised, there's fuckloads of lesbians for them to choose from. Why would they choose the only three straight women?
I don't want to be, you know, massively stereotyping lesbians, but lesbians are all already going out with other lesbians. That's the whole thing about being a lesbian. That's why it's so annoying to be a single lesbian. It's like, yeah, okay, I know like 10, but they're all going out with each other. So,
did you notice who the woman who propositions,
yes,
Phoebe at the end? Did you notice who that was?
Big Boo.
Boo from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Is it?
It is. It's
looking
Boo.
Very young, but otherwise, yeah, looking much like she does now, yeah. The other nice thing about, we'll call her Boo because that's what we know her as in Orange, yeah, is the New Black. she picks up on Phoebe talking about how this woman has left her. And that's what makes her think, oh, this Phoebe is a lesbian. I'm going to make a move on her. No, Phoebe's actually talking about a dead old woman whose spirit has left her. So she totally gets that wrong, but it's a nice moment.
But yeah, we talked about this at the start very briefly. It is worth touching on because I made a note that sort of the way they all talk about basically lesbianism and lesbian weddings, the way they treat it, like Ross mocks it at the start. He's like, what? And I pronounce you wife and wife. Like, that's insane. And then the whole old woman storyline resolves when it is implied that the maddest thing in the world that anyone could ever see is two women getting married.
But you also have to see that in the context of 95.
So that's what I was going to say. So I was watching it, and then I went to look back at it. And at this time, when this episode went out,
it was not legal.
Same-sex marriage wasn't legal anywhere in the world.
No. I know. So it wasn't a concept. Yeah. But
No, I know. So it is when you look back at it through those different spectacles, then it is quite a...
And also, did you read, is it NBC?
Yeah.
That they had hired a bunch of extra staff to deal with the complaints.
Really?
And they only got like 12 calls or something. Wow. And they were expecting, you know, thousands. So
that's incredible.
The other thing about the context of that comment that Phoebe makes of now I've seen everything, she's also making it from the perspective of a much older woman who she apparently is occupying. So that's kind of why it might be something a bit more...
That's true.
Shocking? Not shocking, that's the wrong word.
But that's why this is one of my favourite episodes, because... watching it as like, I don't know how old I was when I first saw it, like 8 or 10 or something. And yeah, there's some humor in the idea of wife and wife, and Ross behaves a little bit like a petulant child, but equally it's his ex-wife.
Yeah.
But yeah, it portrayed this two women, and actually Carol and Susan are, I think, my two favorite recurring cast members.
Okay.
Susan in particular.
Susan's great.
I mean, Carol's fine, but Susan is a peach. I love Susan. I think she might be one of my dream women. She has got such great style as well. Her dungarees at the beginning of this and her hat that she gets married in. Wow, Susan. Just wow.
She also has a very low tolerance for Ross's bullshit.
Yeah, which is great. And that's the thing. So there is some humour around that idea. And fine, again, different time. But there's no malice whenever Susan and Carol are in a scene, because you wouldn't even try and take the piss out of them, because they are well-written characters. They're like strong characters. They're clearly shown to be in a loving, committed relationship. They're raising admittedly the most annoying child in the world when he grows up. But
Ben is a prick.
I'm going to say that's all Ross's influence. But he's a very cute baby at this point. But yeah, but that's the thing. So this marriage is portrayed as something beautiful, and they're allowed to be affectionate with each other. At the wedding afterwards, when they're doing photographs, you know, Susan's got her arms around Carol. Monica and Joey or Chandler are looking on and they're saying, isn't it beautiful? Yeah. And that thing where Carol's parents don't want to come, where she comes to their flat and Ross, despite himself, has to say, I think Susan's right. You know, you should, this isn't about George and Adelaide. It's about you and you should do it. And even Ross, who's a petulant little child and reacts so terribly in so many situations, just sees this for what it is. It's just two people who are in love with each other. Yeah. And that is pretty cool and progressive for like a mainstream comedy that, as like a 10-year-old, I was watching and I was going, oh, right, okay, so two women can be in love and can have a life together and can raise a kid together. And yeah, they're two very beautiful white women. We've got a long way to go, but still, it's something. It's a start.
Is it quiz time?
Quiz time!
Oh no.
Okay, right. Very quick fire. This is the lightning round. We ask you 5 questions, just not really to do with the storyline, just little bits of attention to detail that you may or may not have picked up. And we put them on a leaderboard that we forget to update every week, so it means very little, really. So would you like to kick off with question number 1, Peter?
I will. Are you ready for this, Sarah?
As ready as I'll ever be, Pete.
What is the name of Ben's cuddly toy?
Oh, I'm really pleased you asked me this one. As soon as I started watching it, I was like, this will be on the quiz. Mr. Winky.
It is. It's
the Mr. rabbit Winky. Comforter.
1 point.
What is Mr. Winky? Is it just like a bear?
I think he's a rabbit. His ears look rabbity. Okay. I think he's like a rabbit comforter, though. You know, like the, with the head of an animal, but like the body of a cloth.
Yeah. Question two. Why does Susan and Carol's wedding caterer cancel?
She has an accident. It's a mountain biking accident.
A mountain biking accident.
And she's in a full body cast.
That's the exact answer we've got written on the card.
Question three. What does Rachel's mum see ugly naked guy doing? And what does she call him?
Oh, I think he's playing the cello.
He is. And what does she call him? She doesn't call him ugly naked guy.
She calls him...
It's kind of ugly naked guy, but yeah. In a more middle class...
It's something
it's
like...
It's just thesaurus of ugly naked guy, yeah, isn't it?
Unattractive, nude gentleman or man.
Unattractive, yeah. Nude man, yeah. Yeah.
What a wonderful image that is. Well, it's not a wonderful image in the slightest. A nude man playing the cello on his own in his flat. Yeah.
Question four. The friends are all helping Monica cater the wedding. Joey's making pigs and blankets. What food is Ross asked to prepare?
Oh, no. I can't remember this. This is annoying.
Balling a melon.
Oh, balling a melon. That's it.
That's the thing that she couldn't manage. this is the too much for
no,
me.
No, let's be honest. That is the task you would give Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't fuck up balling a melon, can you? Although you wouldn't give Joey anything.
No,
so,
exactly. Yeah. Pigs in blankets is a big deal.
Pigs in blankets is an interesting choice for a wedding menu.
Well, I mean, she goes through some pretty interesting choices, doesn't she? Like
chicken breasts.
Chicken. Yeah. Lesbian wedding.
Chicken breasts.
Chicken breasts.
As if that's like a massively out there idea, yeah, to serve a chicken at a wedding.
Oh, and she's like lamb or duck. Yeah. Like, you're just naming meats. Yeah. These aren't ideas.
No one here has actually been a chef, guys.
Also, you're at a lesbian wedding, Monica. So I would say 60% of your guests are going to be vegetarian or vegan. So can you just make a more appropriate wedding menu? Thank you very much.
Final question for you. What song is playing at the wedding reception?
Oh,
when they're all
no.
dancing.
It's a slow one. It was a moment.
Oh, man. I just watched this as well. I've done really bad.
I feel like if
you
didn't
quiz.
Get this straight away.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it.
It was Strangers in the Night.
Oh, it was.
No, you did quite well. You got 60%.
Well.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 for the bonus point.
You had quite extensive knowledge of Monica's menu there as well, which you...
Yeah, you did. We award bonus points willy-nilly here. So you've got sort of 3 and 4. You've got 4 out of 5 despite getting 2 wrong.
Excellent. That is the kind of maths I can do.
Just before we finish, there's one thing I just quickly wanted to pick up on while my sister's here. So this goes back to 2 episodes ago of this podcast, Helen Monks. We were talking about the one where it's the episode where Joey hires a twin that looks nothing like him
yeah.
to play his identical twin for an audition. And... strangely, on the day we recorded that, it was my sister's birthday. And that night, we went to the pub. And during conversation, apropos of nothing, one of our friends told us the tale, which I thought you'd really enjoy, Pete, in this vein, which really reminded me of this, of when 2 girls that Sarah went to school
oh,
with,
yeah,
two Irish white girls, not identical twins.
Not even twins. A year apart in
so
school.
You got the picture right? So they're a year apart. They're not twins. They share similar genes, obviously.
Yeah, they look like sisters for sure. They don't have the same colour hair or anything, though.
They responded to an open call and attended the audition for the Patel twins in Harry Potter.
Okay, I feel like this doesn't paint them in a great light. I don't want to say that they were quite young and they probably weren't aware of the, you know, problematic racial...
What a surprise they didn't get cast in that.
I think also in their defence, they were going in the hope that they would be just picked up for another role.
That would have been some quite emphatic whitewashing, wouldn't it?
Well, I think... I'm gonna say Sabina, that's her name.
Yeah.
She loves to tell this tale. She said that when they turned up and like went up to the corridor, obviously we're faced with a corridor full of Asian twins, as one would expect, who just looked at them like, oh, no, you yeah. didn't. Like, you are fucking kidding me. We've got one role, or yeah, 2 roles, yeah, and you're going to try and... Yeah, so they got out there pretty sharp.
So, yeah, it's a real-life version of the Joey twin plotline.
That is incredible.
Not even twins.
So, there you go. On that note, that is all for episode 5 of Friends with Friends. Sarah Cribb, friend of the podcast and sister of half the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Pete.
And Peter, we'll be back next week. with another episode of Friends with Friends, the details of which will appear after this bit of music. Goodbye!
Goodbye! Bye.
And just before we go, we want to let you know which episode we will be discussing next week.
And our guest will be the excellent and hilarious comedy writer Mark Haynes. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
And tell us, please, which episode will we be talking about?
Series 3, episode 12, the one with all the jealousy.
The one with all the jealousy. So if you want to go away and watch that in preparation for next week's episode of Friends with Friends, please do. And we will return to talk about it. Thanks for coming over just to say that.
Friends!
So next week, the one with all the jealousy, season 3, episode 12. Adios. See you then.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.